Welcome one and all to another day, another, everything. It's the whole thing here at the Damage Report. And thankfully, one big part of the whole thing on Mondays will remain on Mondays. Francesca Fiorentini. Francesca, how's it going?
Good Monday morning. That's
a reference, is what that is.
No, it's not.
No?
I'm the only one who's ever done that. Like holding good for that long.
Yep, you made it up.
That's right here on the Damage Report, yo.
Yeah, I'm having this weird thing. Is behind the scenes. I'm having this weird thing where my I don't know if this is like an AI becoming sentient thing. My Skype window normally, this is behind the scenes, would have Francesca. It would have whoever the producer's on. Who today is Marisa, and then it would have like our live production view. And it is only interested in Francesca. I cannot get it to show anything else. I don't know what's going on. It's like no. Unsullied, unfiltered Franny. And that's all I'm getting. So I have no idea if I'm live at any given point. But anyway, I am on screen apparently. Where am I? Thank you everyone for being here. We're about to launch into a big old week here where there's gonna be apparently more testimony. January 6th commission. They said they were gonna take a bunch of time off and then they immediately undercut it. It's like a trial separation. I guess the first one didn't stick. I don't know. But anyway, we've got a lot to talk about even just today, starting off in just a little bit with our Monday Minutes. We're gonna have a little bit of fun with that. Jumping into Joe Biden, what he's doing, and far more importantly, all the things he's not doing. Turns out people not a fan of the president doing nothing as the world burns. And then we got EV chargers being destroyed. We got Proud Boys. We got Natalie Portman's biceps. We got a lot to talk about today. So I'm gonna need everyone to buckle up, hold on to your butts, hit the like button so that people get you. I can't tell if you're live. Like Francesca's flexing her biceps.
I'm sorry.
Is that all that the camera's on? I don't know.
Oh, I'm ready to talk about Natalie Portman's biceps.
Yeah, me too. I swear I have a reason. This is not like all of the other times that I've talked about Natalie Portman's biceps. It's topical now.
This time it's different.
Anyway, so with that said, if you want to send us any comments, tweets, super chats, and all that, we can respond as we go. Oh, I do want to respond to one. I missed this at the close of last Friday's show. So we had had a member of the Dragon Squad, Kim Thomas, who had talked to us about a little baby who needed a dragon name, and we were curious what it was going to end up being. And Kim Thomas apparently did respond, saying the squad has spoken. Baby is named Rugrat Dragon, whose coming was foretold. Aww. He shall be raised to seek justice. Walk with honor and always to roar.
I was gonna say blowout dragon, but that's ostensibly less fun. Rugrat dragon, I like. My baby can be blowout dragon.
My God, okay. That's what it's gonna be apparently. Anyway, with that said, I think it's about time that we jump into this thing. So let me get us set up here. Over the course of the weekend, when the Damage Report is not live, monsters come out of the shadows. We need to break it down on Mondays with our Monday Menace. So we got a bit of an old school Monday Menace for you. I didn't even think he was really in the news the entire span we've been doing those. It's Donald Trump. He's doing rallies again. In fact, he went to Alaska to rally with Sarah Palin. And he talked about a lot of things. I have issues with most of them. But I want to start off with a really concise explanation of how pathetic their entire movement is. He'll explain.
Then we did a hell of a job. Never got credit for that. More people died under Biden. You saw that. And the job we did with COVID, or as some people call it, to be more accurate, the China virus. But we did so much in terms of therapeutics, and a word that I'm not allowed to mention, but I'm still proud of that word. Because we did it, we did that in 9 months, and it was supposed to take 5 years to 12 years. Nobody else could have done it, but I'm not mentioning it in front of my people, but someday we're gonna have to all sit down and have a little talk. But you know what? We did a hell of a job.
Okay, so there's a lot there that's just amazing. I mean, the simplest stuff to dispense with is, did you know more people died under Biden? Well, it's been like 2.5 times longer under Biden. Also, you guys You wouldn't do anything to stop it. You spent the whole first year refusing to be a part of the solution. And so what do you know? It continued and it was a big problem. And also, I love the cognitive dissonance of talking about way more people died under Biden. It was a massacre. Also, it doesn't matter. Nobody's dying. It's all made up. It's all fake and you don't have to worry about it. But they definitely more died under Biden. But anyway, he refuses to say the word vaccine, Francesca. What do you make of that?
Incredible, incredible. Someday we're all gonna have a little talk about it. First, I'm gonna have 4 more years or maybe 8 or maybe forever years. And then when I'm on my deathbed, I'll tell you, you should have gotten vaccinated. Like if you text Trump 26789, we'll give you a gold coin and a free dose of the COVID-19 vaccine as all the ads are right next to him. I just love just how cheap and grifty Trump has become. But like, yet he is afraid of his own base. He's afraid of his own accomplishments. And I know that for many of us who have, you know, try to think rationally and use logic, the idea that you would blame Biden for having more deaths on his watch and simultaneously not be able to say the word vaccine or even say that you believe in COVID, that would seem like cognitive dissonance. Counterpoint, religion. That's it. I just want to say that like these are also people, and no disrespect, but like these are people who simultaneously are like, I am pro-life. That's why a mom should die from an ectopic pregnancy, because God wants me to be pro-life. Like there is like, there's a man in the sky type stuff. You can attach it to QAnon and everything, but like that is what the far right, that's what a lot of fascist thinking is that cognitive dissonance.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. It is amazing that like he knows he's surrounded by people that if you brought up the fact that they should have gotten this thing that he is still telling us he thinks worked and was a miracle. If I were to say the word, these people would lose their minds and would refuse to support me as a politician, but it's probably Biden's fault. It's probably the Democrats that are responsible. No, but like, and that's why I start off by saying that this is really about the movement. Imagine being in a room and knowing how crazy the people you're trying to appeal to are, and you're still gonna try to appeal to them. And any other politician, by the way, would have just not brought this up. They would have known all of this. They would have, whether they support vaccines or not. And most of the Republican politicians, deep within their hearts, they know that science is accurate. They went to Ivy League schools and everything. They know this is true. They just won't bring it up. He is like so unfiltered that he will make clear to us how ridiculous that is. But imagine trying to appeal to people and knowing how crazy they are. Yeah. Like I'm trying to, I can't even come up with an example. Like if Bernie was giving a rally, what would he not be able to say? But he would know that the people he's appealing to are out of their minds when it comes to something, but he has to just avoid talking about something because that would trigger them.
Biden is utterly effing up. Like
no, but Bernie wouldn't be afraid, I don't think, to say that to progressives at all. You think?
He would be more coded with it, but I don't think he could openly go hard in the paint against Biden. I'm just calling it like it is, but yes, I agree with you. Nothing so absurd. I mean, I did want to point out the thing in that entire, I know there's more, but the thing in that snippet that we need to talk about is like, when did he get the biggest applause line? It's when he said China virus.
Yep.
You know, and we have week after week after week of more anti-Asian hate crimes happening in cities across this country. And we're like, gee, I wonder why. Let's get more police on the street. Yeah, more cops. That's what we need. No, we need leaders to not buy into the entire Republican Party has been feeding their base this kind of racist crap.
Yeah.
And that's, and so he's still relying on them.
Yep. Yep. And again, why, so why is he doing this? He's doing this because they love to like have you point at another country, another race of people and say that they're bad. They love feeling like those people are bad. But also why is China bad? China's bad because they spread COVID. That's what they believe. The fact that they have actively spent 2 years spreading COVID does not make them as bad as China for some reason. And by the way, China initially, you know, COVID came from them or whatever, but like, I feel like America's exported a lot more COVID in the past couple of years, but for some reason it's not really our our fault. That said, Trump might specifically, like, so he didn't want to say the word because of his voters and all that. But also bear in mind, he was there to support Sarah Palin for Congress. And she said she would get a COVID vaccine, quote, over my dead body, which is actually usually how that works. But anyway, yeah, the candidate he's there to support has the same crazy opinions as the base does. By the way, she gave a speech about the plandemic and how they purposefully shook our economy to its core. All this was invented by the globalists or whatever. It wasn't real, they made it up. He's there to support a candidate like that. And 63% of Alaskans are fully vaccinated. And obviously, if you were to break that down by party, it would be, it's 63%. We've had the vaccine for so long. 60, a year and a half, we've had access to it. Doses are just spoiling in freezers. 63%.
They're throwing them away. They're throwing, they're throwing hundreds of millions of doses away, hundreds of thousands of doses away, excuse me. And it's disgusting. And you have these people, and we know that actually now with new variants that like vaccines are stronger than so-called herd immunity or getting COVID. And that like, what is it like after your second COVID bout? You're pretty much definitely gonna get a third. Like there's like all these new studies that are like, yeah, no, it actually gets worse. You don't get more immunity, you get less, especially against the new variants.
Yeah, no, it's just terrible.
You know, based on the Green New Deal, remember they started at 12 years. You only have about 7 years left. I don't think anybody's too worried, right? You could worry about nuclear warming, but you can't worry about the global warming. The global warming, they said the other day, I heard somebody, that the oceans are gonna rise 1/8 of an inch over the next 300 years. We have bigger problems than that. We'll have a little bit more beachfront property. That's not the worst thing in the world.
Okay, if you heard that scientists have been saying that over the next two and a half centuries, the oceans would rise by 1/8 of an inch. And if you thought, wait, that can't be right. Well, I Googled it. That's not an honest reflection of what scientists say. They say that the ocean could rise 26 feet by 2300. A little bit more than 1/8 of an inch, just to be clear. I mean, let's be doubly clear. He doesn't give a damn. He ain't gonna last that long. I don't think he's gonna last out the decade, but so he doesn't care. He's convinced a lot of people to not care. It'll be more beachfront property, says the guy who can afford to move at a moment's notice to anywhere he wants for the hundreds of millions of people around the globe whose entire life will be destroyed as a result of the thing that he is mocking. It'll be serious for them, but some of them are having fun with it. Now, a lot of conservatives, by the way, live in areas that are gonna be devastated. All those conservatives down in Florida whose lives and homes and businesses are gonna be devastated over time. It's all just a big old joke, Francesca.
I mean, look, there are a few things we can look forward to in this life, but watching Mar-a-Lago be swept away in a hurricane is absolutely in the top five things, next to like, seeing my kid graduate from college, whatever. Like those are the things that one looks forward to. And I think with climate change, you can bet your behind we are gonna see that. So he might be in office, but all of his golf courses are going bye-bye. And not only that, I mean, so what's interesting also to chart the like climate change denialism on the right is that they held on to it for, I think, like a good, and it still exists, but it's like a decade of like, this is not real. We're in a moment now of cynical acceptance, which is, we do know it's real. I've seen Fox News do segments on the sixth mass extinction, which is something that we're undergoing now as a globe. And yet they talk about it like, well, the alternative is socialism, right? Or the alternative would mean communism, because it would mean we couldn't dig up all the oil that we wanted, because green energy is, doing Marxism. So you're seeing them admit that it exists, but then there's always a caveat of why it's not that bad, which Trump is like, there's just gonna be more beach property.
Yeah.
We're in that sweet spot right now. It's going to continue to change as we're like glubbing underwater, and they're like, "But we needed to learn to swim." You know, like there's always going to be a thing.
Yeah, and by the way, like, you know, this is already really dark. I don't want to get darker, but like, I don't know if it's the next phase after the cynical acceptance that Francesca's talking about, or if it's two or three phases away. I don't know if it's 5 years or 20 years away. But like, you need to understand that when they finally can't deny the storms, the wildfires, the droughts, the inability to make food, the mass migrations of people, the resource wars, like, do you get that that's going to be their rationale for all sorts of fascist BS?
Yeah.
Like, well, anti-immigration, hoarding resources, we can't afford to pay you, gotta scale back social services. Can women really be, can we give them positions when there's so few jobs left? They should really be back at home trying to, you know, grow food in the backyard. No, that like, this is really dark, and I don't think enough people are talking about this. They're finally going to accept this and then use it, weaponize it in pursuit of fascism. That is 100% gonna happen. I do wanna remind you though, as he is joking about this along the way, sea level is already expected to rise 10 to 12 inches in the next 30 years. That's as much as it has in the past century, so that's fun. Also, we don't need to look ahead three decades. Right now, sequoias are at risk in Yosemite because of a wildfire that has rapidly grown to, that article says 1600 acres, it's about 2000 acres now, so that's fun. Oh, also a massive glacier collapsed in Kyrgyzstan, so that's fun. Hikers just barely got out of the way as this massive collapse happened. India experienced hundreds of deaths from renewed mudslides that are happening in no small part because their monsoon season, which has existed for a long time, obviously, is now being compressed into an even shorter period of time, meaning that the massive rain is falling even more condensed, and that's leading to tons of deaths. Oh, there's heat records being broken all around the world, from Italy to the Arctic. A particular province in China hit 111.6 degrees, and one city in Japan hit 104.4 degrees. Those aren't things that are supposed to happen, but it's all a joke to the conservatives here, Francesca. Isn't that fun? That's why he's your Monday menace. But that said, I want to go into a bit, one more thing, a bit more random of a thing. Like, Democrats, liberals, progressives, we're blamed for a lot, obviously. But did you know we can now be blamed for the clogging of politicians' arteries? Take a look at this.
Rudy's right now getting well. He had a big problem, a heart problem. He's in a hospital right now. Can you believe it? What they put Rudy through. But he was a great mayor.
Do you understand what's happening there? Rudy Giuliani had to get heart surgery, and they're saying it's because people have put him through a lot. That's not true. Now, what is the they? What are they putting him through? I don't know exactly what he means, and there's a very real chance Donald Trump doesn't know what he's saying. But Giuliani was recently subpoenaed as part of the Fulton County special grand jury investigation. Lindsey Graham was as well. You know, they tried to overturn the election, and that's serious stuff. Is that what it is? I don't know. Maybe they mean that when the supermarket worker slapped him on the back recently, maybe that's the they. Giuliani, by the way, described that interaction, which we covered on the show, as feeling like someone shot him. And by the way, I don't know what Trump meant, but Giuliani earlier today was on Steve Bannon's podcast, and he blamed that slap on the back for his heart surgery.
Oh my God.
No, but he got two stents put in because of clogged arteries. His arteries weren't clogged by a supermarket worker slapping him on the back.
Yes, they were.
That's not how it works. Now, I'm not a doctor, although I have watched the full run of Dr. House MD about three times through. And I feel confident in saying that no slap on the back clogs your arteries, Francesca.
You can, that dude, he was transmitting, like, you know, plaque through the back of his shirt. He just like threw his hand like, right? Like just years and years of red meat and trans fats. He just, you know, it was like some X-Men thing that was happening. Look, I think we believe him. My favorite part of the Trump clip right there is that he goes, but he was a great mayor. Like, wait a minute, what are you, is this, are you eulogizing him right now?
He didn't die.
He's not dead, it's a couple of stents, what the hell?
I mean, look, to be fair, he's not far off. There was a good chance Trump would have been proven to be accurate in that, but yeah, no, it's not.
Well, Trump doesn't want to pay his legal fees, so he's like, let's please everyone pray that Rudy.
There's no obligation if he's already dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's apparently out of the hospital now and doing pretty good, but it's like doing pretty Giuliani good. How good is he really doing?
Sure.
How good was he before the surgery, honestly? No, this is like, we're blamed for everything. We're blamed for Joe Biden's approval rating. We didn't do this. This would be like if Kavanaugh rushed out of the Mortons and thanks to his steak diet was constipated that last day. That's not abortion activist's fault. You're responsible for the food you put into your body, okay? When I inevitably suffer the consequences of my high Pop-Tart diet, that's on me, yeah. Okay? That's not on you. Anyway.
I think it's a little bit on Giuliani and Trump and the news generally, John. Would you think you'd eat less, fewer Pop-Tarts?
That's kind of a good point. I'm kind of eating my feelings and they've given me a lot of feelings. Yeah. I do blame them and the bill will be sent to them directly. Uh-huh. Anyway, with that said, we need to take our first break. And in fact, it is going to be a real break because we're going to try to figure out the little tech problem we're having. But don't worry, we got way more to talk about after this. Okay, well, welcome back everyone. We've got a lot to talk about. Including Joe Biden. Do people want him? Do people not want him? What do you think? We're gonna dive into it and really figure this thing out. But we're gonna start off with the big topic of the month with this.
Do you have a message, Mr. President, for women who were protesting outside the White House yesterday?
Yes, keep protesting because keep making your point. It's critically important. We can do a lot of things to accommodate the rights of women in the meantime, but fundamentally, the only thing that's going to change this is if we have a national law that reinstates Roe v. Wade. That's the bottom line. Everything else, we can get pieces of it, and I'm trying to do that.
Okay, so that's Joe Biden saying, those of you who are out there protesting, including many, many people protesting around the White House, continue doing what you're doing. And in fact, you're right. We do need to do something to accommodate these rights. I'd use a different term personally. We need a law, a federal law, and we're gonna get it. Well, look at that. Biden is super in support of protesters who are frustrated with the destruction of Roe v. Wade. It's almost as if they felt the need to trot him out to do a bit of damage control, considering what the White House was saying about this over the weekend. Now, Francesca and I talked about this on her show over the weekend. In case you missed the statement that was put out by the White House Communications Director, Kate Bedingfield said over the weekend, Joe Biden's goal in responding to Dobbs is not to satisfy some activists who have been consistently out of step with the mainstream of the Democratic Party. It's to deliver help to women who are in danger and assemble a broad-based coalition to defend a woman's right to choose now, just as he assembled such a coalition to win during the 2020 campaign. The president has been showing his deep outrage as an American and executing his bold plan, which is the product of months of hard work ever since this decision was handed down. So shut up, you peasants, shut up, you activists, you're out of step. You, Francesca, you think that reproductive rights should exist, thus proving that you are a wild-eyed radical. Mm-hmm. But anyway, people weren't happy about this. And so it sort of makes sense that they try to put out a different message with Biden there. Francesca, what do you think?
Just stick to anything. Like, do you have a moral compass? Do you have some kind of like guidepost in terms of what the hell this administration is actually about? They keep going back and forth on this. And honestly, that statement is, it's gonna take a lot to come back from that statement. Cause that statement, you know, they're talking about building coalitions. That statement absolutely iced out the very people who worked on the Biden campaign, building coalitions for him, you know, looking at reproductive rights, looking at all kinds of things. And he's consistently like thrown them all under the bus. But you know, I do think it's nice. It's very cute that he says keep protesting as he keeps bike riding, even though he fell. you know, you just get up and you you keep on pedaling, as he was there with his of course with his security detail and clearly on a bike. But just like the last thing, that statement, it not only bothers me because it's so, it is absolutely, there's the contempt that they have for Democratic voters. Voters, you can call them activists or want. Here's the difference between an activist and a voter who you want to get to. The activist is your bridge to the voter, you dumb POS. Like, the activist is the person who's doing the work that you should be doing, oftentimes unpaid, is trying to get people involved in the political process, right? But I hate the part where he says, where they say, like, oh, the president is responding with outrage like any American. You're like, no, you're not any American. You're the president. So I'd like you to respond not like any American. I'd like you to respond like the president.
Well, and that's a totally perfect criticism, but also he's not nearly as outraged as many, many, many Americans. And that's clear. He's doing like kind of an old man version of like, oh, I'm supposed to be outraged. Okay, I think I can work myself up into it briefly. Yeah, so that's obviously a big issue. Also, the whole thing reeks of like the boss crossing the picket lines and then like yelling at the factory, yeah, we're mad at you. But Biden, do you get, are they protesting Republicans? Yes, understandably, they're protesting Republicans in many, many cases, and the Supreme Court and all that. But also, they're protesting you because you're not doing enough. Saying, I think people should be with me protest. No, they're protesting you because you're not doing anything. Maybe you should consider doing something, then they might not be so outraged. Anyway, I want to give credit to a couple of different people for their statements about this, trying to get through to him. Co-founder of Ultraviolet, Shauna Thomas, said mainstream, Biden could double his approval rating and he still wouldn't be as popular as abortion rights. It's a great point. Burn. Anyway, she goes on to say, what activists are asking for isn't different from what the average voter is looking for. Leadership, to trust that the president is doing everything in his power to save lives and protect our rights. No one is asking Biden to do the impossible. We're asking him to do the maximum, and he is doing the minimum at the very least. So anyway, yeah, this is, I guess, their first pass at responding to this needless own goal here. Like, the Democrats seemed poised, even before Roe v. Wade was destroyed, after the leak in early May, to be like, okay, so we're not gonna actually do anything, but I think this will help us politically. How about this? What if you didn't do anything, and also you found a way to not even have it help you politically, because you ended up being just as offensive as the people actively trying to strip away these rights?
I mean, I'm just like, oof, we're gonna see in the midterms. But you just demobilized a lot of people who even still had a shred of faith in your presidency and was gonna, you know, we're gonna work to get out the vote and whatnot, like the so-called activists who are out of step. Like, we're already trying to swallow, they're already trying to swallow the pill of Nancy Pelosi campaigning for Henry Cuellar. They're already trying to swallow the pill of the fact that we know it's nothing but lies, the fact that they had this ready for months. No, they didn't. They would have come out with it as soon as the leak was there, right? So we know all that's BS. So it's like time and time again, and now you're isolating folks even further. Ooh, the streets are gonna be hot this summer.
By the way, they came into the weekend saying, hey, all of you, don't pressure Biden, don't imply he's not doing enough, that'll demobilize people. And then they decided to show us what true demobilization actually looks like. It's a great point. Yeah. Biden is assuring us that he's going to run again in 2024, but do people actually want him to? No. Now, you've known this for some time, but it's getting real bad. Roughly 64% of Democratic voters polled say they believe the party should nominate a different candidate for president. 64% means a lot of people who supported Joe Biden, who voted for Joe Biden, who might have even supported him in the primary at this point, are changing it up. But that number, as shocking as it is, the 64%, when you look at young voters, dear God, 94% of those aged 18 to 29 say they would prefer a new candidate.
Damn.
That is, I would love to sit down with the remaining 6%. And I feel like we could probably fit them in like one stadium. Why? What is it about you that you prefer Biden? But anyway, no, that is the future of the party. If the party has a future, that's its future. They don't want Biden, Francesca, and the Democratic Party seems dead set on providing Biden. They've tried to convince people that he's the only one that can beat Trump because he squeaked out an incredibly narrow win in a few key states. And if you bring up the possibility that we could get someone, I don't know, someone younger, someone more representative, someone more in step with the Democratic mainstream on policy, someone who believes that the president has an obligation to do literally anything, particularly in the face of this anti-democratic fascist movement that we're facing, then you're the problem, Francesca.
I mean, it makes total sense. Then that 94% it stings, but I think it makes absolute sense. You look at why people came to the polls in 2020. It was off the back of a massive uprising around police brutality, around the murder of George Floyd. None of that has been addressed by this president at all. The George Floyd Justice and Policing Act has not been able to pass. There's been deadlock. There's been no effort on an executive level to intercept that or cut into that. Look at student debt, look at climate change, look at the issues that young folks take the streets for. Look now at reproductive rights and all the young women who are on the front lines of this struggle. No, he's not speaking to any of them. So you're absolutely, that 94%, man, you earned that, Biden. He absolutely earned that. And so look, I do think that they're, you know, it is telling right now, and it is also telling that, like, that doesn't mean that folks aren't gonna come out to the polls and sort of, sure, you know, eat whatever mush you give them. But absolutely, it is a wake up call. And I will also say, I would like a follow up question about Kamala Harris, because the vice president attached to this president is not looking good. If the whole goal was to, you know, position her to succeed him, that is not happening. She has been given a very short leash, and she like ties herself in knots with it even when she has it. There is nothing about her that steps out. There's nothing about her that shows any other, that shows any leadership whatsoever. So the she whole would be, thing.
Yeah. No, continue.
The last thing I'm gonna say is, it's BS to put this only on young voters and only on Democratic voters. The people inside the White House, the people in his own administration, the advisors, folks who've been studying this and looking at this, who want him to do better, they're saying the same thing. What are we doing? This is bad.
Exactly. Yeah. No, they're not interested. And that I've seen the beginning of these articles of like, well, okay, nobody wants him, but nobody else is stepping up in the party. Well, is it possible that you're just not willing to acknowledge those who are stepping up? And I understand the game that we play is, well, who could it possibly be if not the incumbent president? Well, obviously the vice president. Why? What, doesn't she have to have done something? No. And then I don't know, like, which governor looks the most like Biden 30 years ago? That's the game that they play. Well, if you look in our comments, there are people who are stepping up, and they may not be governors, but a lot of people, like, there's always a lot of conversation around Katie Porter, interestingly. But Nina Turner, AOC, there are others in theory that could run. Some people are saying Elizabeth Warren. There are other people in the country that might have a chance. And there's, like, Francesca's right. Many of these people might still end up voting, but how enthusiastic are they gonna be to vote, to raise money, to phone bank, to knock on doors, to talk to their friends, to get them to vote? Maybe. And also, we know what his best is, Biden. He gave us whatever he had for this past year and a half, and it's effectively nothing. You think that an older Biden is going to be more vigorous, more active?
I'm so done with the Democratic establishment pushing these candidates. We had Clinton foisted on us. We had Biden foisted on us. We had former President Obama making calls in the dead of night, telling everyone to fold and get behind Biden or else. How did that work out for you, bro? Like, how is it going? You know, and I just, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this. And like, yes, Bernie would have won. Absolutely, Bernie would have won. But the machine wants safe. And sadly, we don't have time to so-called play it safe. And safe, honestly, is just safe for corporations. Let's be real about what safe means. So for the love of God, can we actually have someone who runs on bold ideas, who can fight? They don't even need to have the politics of Sanders. Even Klobuchar has more fight in her. Mm-hmm. Even Buttigieg has more fight in him. Like honestly, it was the worst selection, and everybody knows it.
Exactly. No, it's a great point. Okay, with that said, unfortunately, we're burning through our first hour. So when we come back, we're gonna briefly talk about one wild card potential choice for president. And then more to close it out. We'll be right back. By the way, in the social break, I made a joke about the best taco salads being in Trump Tower. Taco Salad responded saying, "Been to New York City Trump Tower, was not impressed." And that's from Taco Salad itself. So
I love a good taco salad stand. Like that's such a niche and good thing to like be your thing. Cause yeah, taco salads are really tasty.
Yeah, I love the food. I don't love Trump posting it or yelling, "I love Hispanics," and that sort of like, I don't need any of that. I like the food, not the Trump opportunism. Anyway, with that said, let's talk a little bit more about 2024 and what could happen, starting with this.
John is really such an exceptional person that, you know, he really could be president tomorrow, and he's smart enough to not want the job. Seriously, but he is a leader. In 2019, he testified before Congress about our government's shameful lack of health care for the men and women who responded to the events of September 11th. Yeah, you know, people like my dad who ran into the towers that day, but instead of, you know, giving their lives in a moment, they walked away with a lifetime of illness and pain. And John sat there with those responders behind him and Congress before him, and gave the least funny speech he's ever made.
They did their jobs with courage, grace, tenacity, humility. 18 years later, do yours.
So that was, of course, Pete Davidson speaking about John Stewart at the when he was getting his Mark Twain Prize. Many other comedians not only lauded John Stewart, but also talked about the possibility of him being president, and thus the op-eds were born. There's an op-ed on Politico from Juliana Glover. If Tucker runs in 2024, here's who the Democrats need. And if you're on the podcast, you're not seeing. It is a picture of John Stewart beseeching God. I'm not sure what that photo is, but it's gotten serious. The op-ed starts off, "Perhaps the most important reason for the Democrats to consider Stewart is who he'd be running against. Trump may run. Stewart has far more TV experience. It is plainly much smarter, with more agility before crowds. Trump's go-to show of strength has been his ability to pull thousands for his political rallies because they are viewed as entertainment by his supporters. A Stewart rally would be a road show of the most hilarious and civic-minded entertainers known today." Also says, "Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and former Vice President Mike Pence seem like they are running. Stewart would just wood chip right through those two stiff as a board speakers." And also goes on to say, you know, what it would mean if Tucker Carlson were to run. And yeah, everybody knows their history with John Stewart bodying Tucker Carlson like 15 years ago or whatever. Now I'm gonna jump ahead briefly for time. John Stewart tweeted just like 2 days ago, "No, thank you." And that's the entire tweet. It doesn't say what he's responding to, but it's easy to imagine that it's the discussion of him potentially running for president, Francesca. What do you make of this?
Well, I was like, can we get lunch on Wednesday? So, and then I saw that tweet and he said, no, thank you. I was like, okay, God. But I really definitely have alerts on his tweets. So I know every time he tweets. I would love for John Stewart to run for president. I'm sorry. We need someone who is a no BSer, and I'm so tired. And this is why like people like Bernie Sanders have been popular, is because when they speak, it's very difficult to detect their BS. And most politicians have a ton of it, right? Yeah. And that's kind of been John Stewart's like clarion call. Like that's his motto, is no BS, really. When he signed off from The Daily Show, that's effectively what he said. He was like, smell it out wherever it is. And I do think it is very admirable. I know that his like he and his wife do awesome work in terms of like rescuing factory farm animals. And he's done this work when it comes to 9/11 first responders. And so he has a history of advocacy, and I do think that that can be very effective. It's mostly just me feeling selfish and wanting him to destroy the Republican Party single-handedly. And he absolutely could. Do I think he could govern well? No, but neither can any Democrat. So
yeah,
we're kind of in the same sitch.
And that's not purely speculative. We can look at a recent history. So whenever something like this is raised, especially when the aspirations are put onto a celebrity, although this is a celebrity who has spent decades talking about politics at the very least, they ask, would you support this person? Well, like we need context, like who else is running in theory? Well, first of all, he's apparently not going to do it. But if it was Jon Stewart or Kamala Harris, yeah, I support Jon. If it's Jon Stewart or Gavin Newsom or Pete Buttigieg or whatever, well, yeah, no, I'm going to do that. But do I want Jon Stewart over Katie Porter or AOC or Nina Turner? No, I don't. No, I don't want that at that point. But I wonder how he would be received nationally. I mean, look, he is a dynamic speaker. He can point to a couple of really good things that he's done. I mean, even just the video that Pete Davidson tossed to, that thing that Jon Stewart did there is better than the vast majority of everything a lot of politicians have done through their entire career, let alone if you were to deduct points for all the corruption and all that. But anyway, it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. And I think there are plenty of good progressives who might be far better on the policy, because let's keep it real, I don't know exactly where Jon Stewart or 2022 Jon Stewart stands on all of this. It's been a bit since he was actively opining on a daily basis about the news of the day. We've got a lot of great progressives in theory that could run. Yeah. Having the primary at all is the thing that we should be pushing for.
Yeah, yeah. But it does speak to what people see in comics, which is a lack of a filter and a truth tellingness and kind of a little bit of a leadership that we do not see. And that's a sad state of affairs. But then you also have like moments like Zelensky in Ukraine. Sure. Former comic,
I don't want to say it.
He who shall not be named should definitely not run for president. But Jon Stewart, I definitely think we can get behind.
Yeah, yeah, it's good to have every comedian says that they speak truth to power. It's good to have that actually be speaking truth to power and not just like cover for transphobia. Like that's a nice change of pace.
Or just speaking truth on Tucker Carlson's show.
Exactly, or that kind either. Okay, with that said, we are running very low, and I want to make sure that we get to this topic. So let's jump into one of the weirdest unexpected pieces of news in a while. We know that the US has to do a ton and spend a lot of money to get the infrastructure necessary for wide-scale adoption of electric vehicles so that people will feel comfortable buying them and using them. There are many chargers that have been built across the country over the past couple of decades, but there is still a lot to be done. So when you see even an individual state legislature proposing money to destroy the ones that already exist, that seems like an issue to me. And in fact, that's what some in the North Carolina legislature want to do. They want to spend $50,000 to sledgehammer the ones that are already there. Why? Because they like the gas better. It's a bill, HB 1049. It includes a number of provisions intended to discourage the installation of free electric vehicle charging stations. The most criticized part is the $50,000, clearly. So why would they do this? Well, in addition to that money, they also want to really drill into people's heads that this free charging, the ability that you could park there and then you could charge up, for instance, while you're at a grocery store. You should be angry about this if you don't yet have an electric car. Them being there isn't something that should make you optimistic about getting one someday, about the prices coming down or subsidies. No, you should be angry about the people who are already benefiting. What they want to do is they want to make it so that all customer receipts will have to show what share of the bill went towards the charger out in the lot. That way, if you show up in a gas car, you could be angry that you paid 0.01 cents more because of a charger that was put there. And I think that's actually kind of a fascinating idea, because those people aren't using it, so why should they have to pay for it? And I think we should take this and run with it. I think that we should also have on the receipt how much money was spent to build the parking lot in the first place, because some people go and they just walk there. If there's a bike rack, I didn't ride a bike, why am I paying for that? What about the air conditioning inside the store? I don't get that hot, so what's the difference? Why are you trying to cool it down? What about the people who want to carry around baskets? I don't like using baskets. I'm a cart man. Why am I paying for there to be baskets there? Bathrooms? You think I'm using a bathroom in a grocery store? Why am I paying for that? Do you see that we could do this? This is the student loan debt thing all over again. The idea that they're going to try to get us to be frustrated with the fact that anything good happens in a way that benefits not someone other than me. Is that really the society we want, where we're individually picking apart every social good? But that is what they want to do. And they're trying to force like these individual companies to provide free gasoline so that they don't have their EV chargers be destroyed. But this is just so backwards, Francesca.
No, but you're absolutely right. I mean, it speaks to the student debt stuff. It speaks to every kind of fragility that we are living through right now from a majority class that has more power. No. In fact, they're under attack. This is the straight pride parade of electric vehicles, right? This is, we need our month for straight pride. You know, this is the, like, I'm sorry, but this is the Spike TV where it's like, this is a channel for men. Bro, every channel is for men. I'm sorry, do you watch television? It's gotten minimally better, but like, that's what this is. And so the fragility for not having, like, and the proper response is, let's have more tax breaks to buy EVs. Let's have, you know, make EVs more accessible for everybody. So it's not, they're more expensive. And actually having an EV and charging it, I used to have one, there, it's not cheaper, right? So how can we alleviate that, right? How can we rely on solar? How can we rely on wind, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? No. It's just my gas guzzler is like oppressed. Yeah, that's what this is.
They're gonna try to fit like V8s under the Second Amendment. Just wait. Yeah, look, and by the way, this is not the dumb celebrity argument of, well, why doesn't everyone just buy it right now? No, we understand that it's a lot of them are too expensive. And not everyone can just buy any new car, let alone an expensive one. And in some areas, it's very hard to charge it. These are problems that need to be managed, just as our overall transition away from fossil fuels need to be managed. But the issue isn't that the Republicans wanna make sure that that process is done responsibly. They don't want that process to happen. They're not interested in the US becoming a world leader in the production of this sort of infrastructure, whether it's solar panels, wind turbines, or electric vehicles. They want to go backwards because they think it's in their ideological interest. Anyway, unfortunately, that is all the time we have for our first hour. If you're on one of the linear platforms or on the podcast, thank you so much for watching. But if you're watching the full show, we do have more to talk about, including an op-ed lauding the Proud Boys, as well as I alluded to earlier, Natalie Portman's guns. We have that and more for you after this. With the membership on YouTube, you get access to the badge and a colored name, and you get emojis and all that. At tier two, you get access to the weekly top 10 list that Francesca and I do. Right after the show today, we're going to be filming. I realized we did this at the middle point of last year. Mm. So we're gonna do it again. What are our hopes that remain for the close of this year? Things that could actually go well or be positive. We're gonna be breaking those down, trying to get a little bit positive, a little bit optimistic. That'll be coming up for you. Progressive Chihuahua, love the name, sent in a super chat to say, loved seeing John with the Frantifa last night.
Yeah.
I have not done, okay, the rest of the message is in Spanish, and I have not done quite enough Duolingo to inflict that on you live. But I believe it means you're my heroes.
Aw.
Maybe someday. Thank you for it, though. But anyway, I was on your show, wasn't I? What was that about? And where can people see that? And where can people support that?
John was on the Bituation Room podcast. So you can watch that back at Franny Fio, my YouTube channel. You can also listen as a podcast, wherever you get your podcast, Bituation Room. And then John and I also talked about Elon Musk for the patrons. So
we did. George has been here for 16 months. Says 16 years on YouTube, 16 months on Twitch, 16 years of appreciation for all you do, TYT. Thank you, Jenk, Anna, John, JR, Jordan, Brett, Brooke, Franny, Rashad, Bart, Adrian, Ida, Viviana, and the rest of the amazing hosts, guests, and staff. And last but certainly not least, thank you, mods and TYT fam. Much love. That was so nice. Thank you. I love that. Twitter. Anyway, Daniel Velasquez gifted 5 memberships on YouTube. You know why? Because that's a thing you can do, and that's an awesome thing to do. So thank you for doing it. Much appreciated.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.